Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkla Mainlam and Squamish-speaking peoples.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/CJSFradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco.
And I am DJ Star. Thank you all so much for joining us today on this Tuesday, right after the National Truth and Reconciliation Day. So we are going to do a topic associated with that. To start us off, we have this quote. Mother Earth is not a resource, she is an heirloom. And that comes from David Epina. So what do you think about this quote, DJ Coco?
Yeah, I see it definitely for the heirloom as being something treasured and that we shouldn't really be taking advantage of in the broad sense of Mother Earth. So,
yeah, it's definitely, we need to look at it more as something that we are passing down to future generations and trying to take care of for the future of humanity instead of just exploiting it for the present and not really thinking about the long-term consequences, which seems to be a pattern of what we've been doing.
Yes, and this will tie in into our topic later on that you'll see. But first, we're just going to start off with the music. So we've got a couple of Indigenous artists up this week as well for Truth and Reconciliation Day. So the first one you'll be hearing is Names. By Miles Natu, and this has been on repeat on my playlist for a long time, so hope you enjoy as much as I did.
I do, I be to the game, let my flows go through, yeah. I do, money on my mind and my cool mind too. I be to the game, let my flows come through. I do. Money on my mind and my cross mind too. I do. I be to the game, let my flows come through. I do. Money on my mind and my cross mind too.
What's the power in the name? I saw and I came, taking the game with pure skill. You're doing this for the thrill, this business is optional. If I shut for nil, I'ma spend my weekend at the court for real. You talk like you been caught for real, but when you get in caught for real, know the loudest voice is always first ones to talk and squeal. Control my thoughts, putting them on the porch. Public displays of bravery, I'm aiming for purple hearts. Seek assignments, deceitful obvious and equals. Hallucinations to speak who you trying to see the eyes of eagles. You can read me like my text come in braille. So when I get my money, keeping it hidden just like the grail. That's me, I'm the competitor, a young Jay-Z. Smart with the mouth, a tricks to God, but I keep it low-key. I'm hitting runs till I'm home. See, I'm pitching my game, taking my shot at the bar. So I'm spitting this flame, you know.
I do, married to the game. To the game, let my flows come through. I do. Money on my mind and my cross mind too.
What's my name? What's the sound? Skating in my hover boots, I'm floating all around. Picking by my mental and I'm looking for my crown. I just pop a sensor when I'm shooting off my rounds. And I'm aiming right at you. Hunt you down at 47, what you gonna do? Hunt you down at credits and I who you praying to. Ain't nobody fucking with me and my crew.
I do, I do.
to Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
Welcome back, everyone. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, and you are tuning into Slumber Party. The songs that you just heard, DJ Coco can very graciously tell you about them a little.
It was only one song because it actually ended up being a little longer than we thought, but that was Blue Zone by Angel Science from their album Tyrannian. Awesome album. Go check it out. We also played Tyrannian from Tyrannian yesterday, or not yesterday, but at the last show, and it was a great song, so definitely
recommend. We're just milking that album right now, so be prepared for a little more, maybe.
Awesome. And yeah, so that was the end of our couple songs, and we are gonna move into our topic for today, which has ties for Truth and Reconciliation Day and Indigenous history, but it kind of ties into salmon because...
Salmon is our topic of the day, guys.
Yes, because we all love salmon. It is currently at the end of the salmon run, and we just wanted to learn a bit more about the history and share what we found. So I actually didn't know this, but BC's fish symbol is the Pacific salmon, which is quite interesting because our actual most common fish is the rainbow trout. But, you know, salmon has good indigenous ties as well. So I could see why they'd use salmon instead of trout. And there's also a couple types of salmon in BC that I didn't know particularly were salmon. I thought these were just different species. My apologies. That's not how it works.
It's okay. We're here for your clarification.
Yeah. So there's actually... the Chinook salmon, which is also called the king salmon, and this one's arguably the best one. There is chum salmon, coho salmon, pink salmon, and sockeye salmon. I am a sucker for sockeye salmon, not gonna lie. I always love sockeye salmon sushi. Yeah, would you say sockeye salmon's your favorite?
I think so, but I just know I love sockeye. I just don't know the differences between all of them either, so maybe I love them all. Salmon's just good and yummy. Very emblematic of BC.
But yes, that is the little tidbit about the salmon in BC. But salmon is much more historically impactful than just the types of species they are. So it has a lot of ties with First Nations. And so just wanted to start off that 95% of BC is unceded traditional First Nations territories.
Which is basically just it was completely stolen and never consensually given up in any way, which is insane to think about. That's 95% and we just live our lives on it like usual a lot of the time. But yeah, as DJ Coco was talking about, there is a bit of history that we would just like to touch on. I think it's good for people to know. I learned a bit about this a while ago and I was shocked because we don't really hear about this in school very much.
We just
hear very basic things about residential schools, and there's a lot of distance created between that time and this time where it's like, oh, you know, colonization was in the past, but we know it's not. So yeah, just a little bit of background before colonization happened. Indigenous people had a very sustainable and mutually beneficial kind of economy based on salmon. And then after a while, their rights to even have their own fisheries or use their fishing tools were completely taken away from them with the arrival of Western industry and just this capitalistic mindset that a lot of colonizers had. So basically a lot of resource farms were created for timber, for salmon, for a lot of these naturally occurring resources in BC.
Mm-hmm. And I'd also like to mention that even though they are physically taking away these resources, it really affected the Indigenous communities spiritually, because they have very, very strong connection between the spiritual world and our physical world. And there was actually a whole section that I was reading on that Indigenous people believe that there are spirits called animal people who can take the form of salmon to supply them with food and resources, and they give their flesh up. And once the flesh has been consumed, the animal people can put on a new flesh and they can re-enter the world. So this is why First Nations really try to help these animal people turn back into humans, and why they value their fisheries so much, and that just physically taking the fisheries away is also taking away their spiritual beliefs.
Yeah, and just complete disregard for mm-hmm. that on the colonial side, as well as with the arrival of all of these industries separating the ecosystem into these individual like resources extraction kind of ideology, a lot of like natural salmon streams were actually destroyed with logging. So trees would fall down and then it'd be blocked off and salmon could not, you know, travel to reproduce and stuff like that. So that was another thing that damaged the ecosystem and the environment. And yeah, so in 1912, I think I mentioned it, but there was a policy that banned Indigenous fishing technology completely.
Yeah, and this was due to them, or that our government believed that they were trying to blame the First Nations for overfishing, even though the First Nations argued that they actually kept track of their salmon to prevent overfishing, and that was the whole reason for these discriminatory policies.
Yeah, it's insane that it's just a complete removal of any kind of Indigenous autonomy over themselves mm-hmm. in a spiritual way, physical way. They can't even, you know, feed themselves on their own land. They have to conform and assimilate to this pretty harmful, like, farm fishing cannery system that colonizers introduced. And eventually they even required all Indigenous people to have permits to fish, like, on their own land. Like, they needed to, like, it's just...
That is crazy.
It's insane, the audacity and just the, like, it's just so evil, it yeah. feels like.
It's like going to your own home and then having to ring the doorbell and ask to be let in when it's your own home. You should yeah. be able to freely step in.
Yeah, it should be the other way around, I think. Mm-hmm. But that was not what happened.
But so, yeah, and as well with the, I think everyone knows about the Indian Act. So in 1867, the Federal Indian Act really divided this fishery issue by separating the Indigenous practices for fishing for food versus fishing for trade and sale, which really broke their traditional salmon exchanges. And Indigenous people have lots of traditions with the salmon yet again. So they always have the salmon ceremonies at beginning of wild salmon runs in BC. So they would usually throw fish bones into the rivers that would change them back into salmon to show gratitude. And they would also do a salmon exchange between families and tribes, which has no money linked to it at all. And it's a system of privilege and rank. And so by implementing for the Indian Act, it kind of made the First Nations starting to have to switch to using cash instead of their natural trading system, which is just terrible.
Yeah, it is just like destroying the culture on pretty much every single level possible. Yeah, and even it's continuing into this current day. I think a lot of people think that, you know, that those kind of practices are so outrageous and, you know, we don't do anything like that nowadays. But I was doing some research on it, and not even for a super long time, but I already found like a decent amount of examples where indigenous consent is, you know, not present, and corporations or the government will go along anyways. So yeah, for example, this hydroelectric dam near the Peace River Valley was, you know, proposed to be built by BC Hydro, and it would flood like and destroy this valley that is also on, you know, unceded traditional indigenous territory.
Yeah, this hydroelectric dam, it sounds like a good idea, but in reality, it's trespassing over all these First Nation territories. They actually already started this in the summer of 2015, and they're planning to complete this year in 2024. It's hydroelectric power is clean energy, and I know that BC uses 98% of clean renewable energy, and I'm pretty sure they're trying to reach 100% at this point. But hydroelectric power does have its drawbacks, because even though that, sure, it doesn't pollute the air, it damages our ecosystems. So around the surrounding areas, there's lots of issues for across the world where hydroelectric dams, they destroy forests, wildlife habitat, agriculture lands, and the physical environment around them, which these First Nations communities live, and it becomes their issue to deal with.
Yeah, it's just displaced onto them. And yeah, like DJ Coco said, it's currently under construction. When I was reading this article, the BC Hydro spokesperson actually said, quote, "We were not able to reach a successful conclusion to our discussion with West Moberly First Nations, but we recognize it's not always possible to come to agreement," end quote. Which is just, you know,
it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's
ridiculous
that this kind of behavior is allowed. And, you know, the government's behind that. And it's all about trying to end or reconcile. But if we're still doing this kind of thing, how can we even reconcile if it's like ongoing? Yeah,
it's just basically saying that both parties don't agree, but we're just gonna continue on with this project anyway.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we don't care, basically. Yeah, it doesn't matter. We're only trying to have a discussion for the sake of performance in a way, because what's the point if they're not gonna listen?
I could see why they would want to continue with the project. This is particularly with BC Hydro. We do have issues with our province expecting more population. There's more housing construction. There's increased industrial development. And BC Hydro sent out a statement saying that electricity demand is expected to increase 15% between now and 2030, and stresses the importance of having these hydroelectric dams, such as this one for up in northeast BC. And it's quite interesting, because there's a lot of controversy around this, and the joint review panel for our federal and provincial governments that they conduct environmental assessments for proposed projects like these, they found the need for electricity was not clearly demonstrated, especially for this dam, which is quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Because everything that BC Hydro said, saying we need this dam, we need more clean energy, but we're disregarding the wishes of the First Nations up here. And it's just such a conflict of interest that I feel that capitalism has a tie with it.
For sure.
Yeah, we know that large dams, these things can be highly profitable, and BC Hydro does make a profit. And dams can also have returns of capital of 15 to 20%. And so I feel like BC Hydro trying to stress the importance of overpopulation and housing and everything when there's actually a need that's not assessed for it, that they're just trying to more make a profit.
Yeah.
Is my understanding.
Yeah, definitely that is the motivation for a lot of these actions, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And it might, I think it's even deeper than making a profit, but
what do you mean?
Like, deeper? It's, yeah, they're trying to make a profit, but they're also destroying Indigenous people's land without any care, so it makes it seem like there is some other underlying kind of motivation.
So continuing assimilation, kind of, maybe.
Yeah, just like pushing Indigenous people to the
brink,
to the margins of society,
even though they're further. Not aware.
Like, they may or may not be aware of it. That's the thing I'm thinking. But yeah, there is. Even, I think everyone's heard about the Wet'suwet'en pipeline, which is, like, all these examples are just trespassing upon violation. So it is, you know, all of these layers. But basically, this, everyone knows about this pipeline. It's, like, 670 kilometers across a bunch of different First Nations territories, but specifically the Wet'suwet'en. A lot of the leaders, like, refused permission for this pipeline, the Coastal GasLink pipeline. And so, yeah, they refused permission. And then the BC Supreme Court granted Coastal GasLink an allowance to, like, remove protesters from impeding their construction. And three Indigenous people were actually charged with criminal contempt for breaking this order forbidding them to block access to the Coastal GasLink pipeline. So they were charged criminally because they were defending their own land. That's just another example of something that is happening.
Yeah, this
within the past few years.
Trespassing on your own land is quite an insane statement.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's just, it's quite sad, this, the history and how much ties that we have with the Indigenous that we really need to stop severing at this point, but it's kind of difficult, especially when climate change is reaching to a point where I feel like we're kind of snipping at the string a bit more of how far we can take humanity and how much we can pollute, how much we can trespass onto properties, how much we can build more dams, and I feel like we're gonna reach a limit very soon.
so close by. Yeah, it's just this need for greed and need for more consumption and all of these things that is messing up or just completely ruining our relationship with the remaining nature that we have. Yeah, I want to talk a bit about our personal relationships with nature and, you know, if we want to change them, how it could be changed, things like that.
Yeah, I feel like, as of right now, I feel like I'm in a little virtual bubble, and an academic bubble as well. Being at university, I'm constantly going from screen to screen. I feel like when it's in the classroom, I'm watching an online lecture. Going home, I'm doing homework on a laptop, and my eyes hurt a lot and are strained a lot, and sometimes I feel like I just need to go outside and just understand where all this knowledge is coming from, that universities have taken knowledge from the earth and nature itself, and I feel like it's hard to break from daily habits of not appreciating nature more and just even spending more time outside. I'd like to do, and kind of more appreciative. I want to be more appreciative of myself as being a product of nature as well. I feel like this is kind of going stretching a little bit, but I just want to be more self-accepting of myself as well. So, but yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you mentioned like spending so much time at university kind of disconnects a bit from nature, the environment, and I think it is more of an underlying problem of the way that our society is structured that keeps this disconnect there. Like, I don't know, like any major institution, you know, isn't gonna really incorporate, and I'm not sure how they would, but it's just kind of an observation, like they're not really gonna incorporate nature too much, and maybe depending on the program they might more so, but it is just, I don't know, even on like in my neighborhood or something, we have, you know, trees lining the side of the sidewalks, but it's not like we're living with nature in any way, or that we're understanding kind of even native plants and animals, like even salmon, I don't really know that much about, even though we share this environment with them.
Yeah, we live on the Pacific Northwest, but I feel like the majority of us lay people don't really know the extent of salmon other than how good it tastes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I feel like even with the dam from before in St. John, it's just such a far out issue. I was looking at the map and it's so far away from the lower mainland, and it sometimes I'm just think, and I just thought like, wow, that's a far away problem and they're doing it so far, and I even thought like, how does this concern me and why do I care about something that's happening so far away? And it's things like that that I feel like really disconnect us from nature and disconnect me from nature.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing how problems are so far away, and the fact that, yeah, our residential streets don't have many trees. We're not too close to the ocean, nor we can see people actually going out and fishing for things. But
yeah, and it is just this mindset of, and I think it's a colonial or more Western mindset of just human superiority over other things that gives us the right to, you know, do things like mass, like for example, like the meat industry or something. Like we're just treating these other living things as a product, as opposed to, I'm pretty sure Indigenous people see animals as our relatives instead of, you know, some like a capital.
Yeah, as animal people, like they work together to give flesh and help them bring back to human earth. But yeah, we just eat our salmon. We don't really give our thanks or gratitude.
Exactly. And that is a problem for sure. That is part of the like reason why climate change has been advancing so much as well, I think, is because of this disconnect between nature and not listening to Indigenous knowledge or things like that, because we, like, settlers are not native to this land, so we don't know what's going on as much as we should. And I think at this point there are generations of us where we should know more about our ecosystem and care more about it and our environment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're not really taught about that too much in school or by our parents.
I think even though Indigenous practices and their history are stressed in BC schools, I grew up in Coquitlam, which derives from an Indigenous name, and so we learned a lot about Indigenous history and had classes on it, but I still feel like the only thing I really took from that was residential schools and not really much about their actual day-to-day lives and their spiritual practices. With salmon, for example, like I had no idea that there were animal people or how much connection they have with spiritual beings.
Yeah, and I'm not saying we should take any of this, but I'm saying like we can definitely learn from this and apply this to policies and other things like that, because I think Indigenous people are even better than like Western scientists at, you know, providing like counters to harmful practices or just any kind of information on what we should be doing to prevent further damage to the ecosystem or the climate or things like that, because they just, you know, they know. And science can only really go so far when you don't have that depth of like generational knowledge, I feel like.
Yeah, that's been passed down for a long time. Yeah, and I wouldn't say that, yeah, it wouldn't be like a single action that they do to help preserve the salmon or help preserve the environment, but it's a series of factors and practices and efforts and things like, I think empathy and having a spiritual connection mm-hmm. with their surroundings also really helps if collectively they do it all together.
Yeah, it's definitely like a way of life because they've lived in harmony with nature for so long before yeah. we came here.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of apply it to our societies. Though, yeah, I know you mentioned overconsumption and things like that because mm-hmm. I certainly don't feel connected when I get an Amazon package or something like yeah. that, you know. And I think we all need to take a page out of their book for yeah. their practices.
Because Indigenous people are like at the forefront of environmental conservation, there we go, nice. And protesting. And there is this awful statistic, I'm just going to say, but according to Global Witness, 177 people were killed for defending the environment. And this was in, I think it was in 2023.
Ooh.
Or like, it was in the past few years. And majority of those murders were in the Americas, so like South, North America. And 34% of those people were Indigenous people.
Ooh, that is, yeah, very disproportionate.
Mm-hmm, and they only make up 6% of the global population. So you can see that they are out there, yeah, at a disproportionate scale, fighting for the environment and, you know, being punished for it as well, and they still continue to do it,
right?
Which is very admirable.
That is, yeah. I wish that we all had the same compassion for the environment, mm-hmm. like Indigenous people. But yeah,
and we can definitely try to work towards that as a society. It's oh, yeah. just we need to stop doing what we're doing right now,
yeah.
as well. On top of that,
yeah, I mentioned our culture in the Western world being very individualistic beforehand, and I do believe that this has a big tie with our lack of care for mm-hmm. things, issues like this, because I feel like most of us are very have a lot of self-interest and self-sufficiency, and they just want to provide for them and maybe their families as well, mm-hmm. but no one outside that circle.
Yeah.
And that does contribute to our environmental issues, to the amount of salmon in our streams, and that I do believe that we're losing salmon every year as well.
Yeah. And another interesting statistic based on the fact that Indigenous people make up 6% of the global population is that they actually care for 80% of the world's remaining biodiversity, which is such a big responsibility.
Yeah. And they found this for Canada, Brazil, and Australia, which mm-hmm. I believe have some of the largest populations of Indigenous peoples. But that is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That is very heroic as well.
And it's like a sustainable care as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, oh, they're doing this for the moment, but they're doing it like, as referring back to the quote from before, as like it's an heirloom, so they're doing it, you know, for future generations as well. That's kind of the whole idea of sustainability.
Yeah. And the fact that I feel like that's not stressed in the media as well. I don't believe I've ever heard that statistic
Mm-mm.
before of hearing how many Indigenous people care for our biodiversity, which I feel like we need to stress more on and spreading that knowledge.
Yeah. And I think it's partially also because, you know, like, I don't know if a lot of people want to hear about environmental activism, especially done by Indigenous people, because it goes against the status quo, basically, of our society that is very, you know, focused on making money and
don't want to change.
Yeah, don't want to change our ways. So, yeah. I think.
Yeah, it's a deep topic, heavy topic.
It is a heavy topic.
There's no full solution for this. It does take every person to fix our environment and to slowly patch up our connection with Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're definitely, the government should be doing more, and the solutions lie in listening to Indigenous people And obviously we can't say one thing or another as like, this is the end all be all, but just beginning with starting to listen to Indigenous people is, you know, very basic that we can do and that we should be doing. Mm-hmm. Even with things like dams, like listening to them with that, and just for example, you know?
Yeah. So
very avoidable, especially if DJ Coco was saying like they didn't even need to put that dam there, really.
Yeah. If the federal government say that it's technically not really necessary, then I think there's a little issue in that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's kind of the end of our Indigenous history / salmon history / let's save the environment speech.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed researching this.
Mm-hmm.
I really like learning about salmon. I also learned a lot about Indigenous history, and I feel like we should all take part in learning more about the 1876 Indian Act as well, because there's a lot more policies than just residential schools than we all typically think of.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe we can end it off with a salmon taco recipe or something, but I didn't find one, but I think we'll just go to the song.
Yeah.
But
it's good to think about, not just around Truth and Reconciliation Day, but just, you know, in general when we're living our lives. Like, I definitely want to think about my environment more and connect to my own environment more just throughout my life, mm-hmm. as well. So
me as well.
Yeah, it's just good to keep in mind always. So yeah.
So we're going to do a couple extra songs now. So the next one is Johnny's Song by Status / Non-Status, which is by the, hopefully I say this right, Anishinaabeg, Canadian singer-songwriter Adam Sturgeon, and this is a little bit of Indigenous music. Take a listen.
And you're lost between the stories that you taught yourself to say. We'll be right back.
pardon de t'avoir perdu. C'est pas toi, mais moi qui a fait exprès. Pardon, j'ai manqué l'arrêt. Ton visage est caché par la ville. Je sais, t'as mal, t'en rases, tu ne respires plus. Et j'irai même si ta route est ardue, à longer des vins en canot et à être comme les cheminots. Accepte-tu quand même dans ta demain
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You're tuning into Slumber Party. Last song you just heard, DJ Star will introduce.
Yes, the last song that you just heard was Go No One's Watching Me featuring Olivia Dean by the Ezra Collective. They just released their new album, Dance No One's Watching, so definitely be sure to check that out. And then the song before you heard that one was Tes Veins and Cannot by Kanen from her album Karen Pinette Fontaine. And then before that one was Into Sands by Lay Soul. Just a little bit of R&B for you all.
Cool.
And
nice.
Yeah, I really like all those songs, so I hope you guys enjoyed them as well. We are coming to the end of our program, so the next one that you'll be hearing is Revolution Rock at 7 p.m.
And then Bitcoover at 8 p.m. with our music coordinator, Connor. So stick around for later on. But yeah, thank you so much for being here this week. We are here every 6-7 on Tuesdays. And wishing you a wonderful Tuesday night.
Yeah, we really appreciate you tuning into this. We will post this episode on the website along with all of our episodes that we've been posting. So, yeah, see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.
Radio Rewind.